Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We do have Wyatt's going to be out for this next game against the Tennessee Titans, but then Wyatt himself said this weekend that was not the case.
No, yeah. And I thought I went off on it yesterday because I think it's important we continue to talk about it because it just doesn't make any sense to me. And we're not going to get a clear answer. They never give us a clear answer in this stuff, and that's the part of the problem in this whole scenario.
Yeah, and I guess this one lands a little different for me because there are about 10 guys on that team that I have a soft spot for. And what I mean by that is like the veterans that have been here. And I know that Wyatt, there's always been a decent chance Wyatt finishes his career somewhere else. I know it seems like for whatever reason, they're reticent to extend him. I think this is trash. And the more I've thought about it, when we started talking about it yesterday, I didn't realize how mad it made me. And the more I thought about it, I've only gotten madder about this situation.
I made a point, and you visibly did get angry, and then you turned and went to the caller as if you were trying to process how mad you were at the point.
Yeah, well, because I didn't want you to think I was mad at you. I'm mad at, like, I just, like, the whole thing, the only thing that I can fall back on that they always point out is we do right by the players, right? That's the whole thing. And it turns out that's not entirely true. Because, and by the way, I think Tevin Jenkins would be a great starting right guard next year because I think Tevin, his only problem in Chicago was he couldn't stay healthy.
He's graded out really nicely this year. In the time he's been on the field, I thought he's been serviceable.
The problem is you have and have had a top five right guard for the Cleveland Browns for the last 7 years. And unless there's something they're not telling us with Wyatt off the field, unless there's some personal dynamic that we don't know about, which I would find hard to believe, given that Wyatt has been one of the faces of the Browns for the last 7 years, to have him, to watch Cam Robinson, and again, I think Cam's an okay football player. He's been put in a bad situation. To watch Cam Robinson on every other play get driven 7 yards back farther than the interior offensive lineman, same thing with KT Leviston, certainly with Jack Conklin this year. To watch those guys continue to play and continue to play really poorly, and then to watch a guy who's been a part of this locker room making his 100th start as a Cleveland Brown, to watch him be treated like a scrub while there are guys on special teams making the same damn mistakes. I don't understand how Wyatt's the only guy in the NFL we can hold accountable for some mythical bad play when he grades out as your best offensive lineman all year long. I don't understand.
Not only all year long, but in that game yesterday too. Like, that's the difference. It'd be like if you looked at the numbers or even when you're watching the game, you're like, oh boy, he's all laying it out there. And I guess if he was told this was coming the entire time, that's one of the best offensive line performances, at least for the first half before all the injuries that we'd seen from this team all year. And then with Wyatt, again, he graded out as your top lineman in the entire game. Not only top lineman, your top offensive player in that game.
And I don't understand why they don't want to do business with this guy going forward. Is it that he doesn't just wax Kevin Stefanski's ass every chance he gets?
Or is it because in the post game he wanted to make sure that everyone knew that it was definitely this rotation thing they discussed and not some sort of phantom injury that he thought people were going to discuss it as?
And I'll be honest with you, I don't buy this crap. I understand this time of year if a guy is banged up. I'm not saying Wyatt isn't banged up, but I don't believe from the team that Kevin Stefanski knew on Sunday that he was going to be already not there the next week. Like, because the Browns consistently say nothing, because their messaging is crap, and because, quite frankly, they already kind of jobbed Wyatt Teller and the way they treated him on Sunday, I'm inclined to not believe, oh, he's too hurt to play this next week. There's something rotten here.
Yes.
And guys, if they did this to some jamoke on special teams who just blew seven plays this last weekend, or who clearly didn't give effort enough on special teams, those are the guys you do this with. Cam Thomas with the dunderheaded move of all time to cost you to at least finish off that game a couple weeks ago. Those are the guys you do it to. Not a guy who's earned the respect of the community. Like, I do not get this. It feels completely fraudulent, and it feels like another made-up thing, and it just pisses me off that they're doing this to Wyatt Teller.
It just doesn't make sense as to why they're doing it, though. Like, Tevin Jenkins, unless they think he's part of the future, but he's a free agent at the end of this year, too. And so this is the part I don't understand. Like, why get Jenkins more work in that moment? Teller is not only playing well. You need him to play well because he helps out everybody else around you, and it sets up better if he's in these games. I'm trying to figure it out. I know you said yesterday you got a couple DMs or people saying that they thought that maybe this was part of the tank or part of the losing process. And it's like, I don't know. Maybe it is. I can't figure it out because it makes no sense from a football standpoint because he's one of your best players at this point.
Yeah. And again, how you treat your best players, how you treat the Browns, try and do everything to appease Myles Garrett, as they should, by the way. That's how the NFL works. Keep your best players happy. Make Myles happy. That's smart. The idea that, and by the way, they've done everything to protect Joel Bitonio, who has not been as good this year. Like, I'm so appreciative Joel came back for one more year. He came, the organization totally sandbagged this guy and probably promised him the house like they tend to do everybody, but he's not been very good. I have not seen Joel Bitonio been sat in the cuck chair for half a game for, again, a nice player in Tevin Jenkins. But for Wyatt Teller to not get the basic respect of this is infuriating. And then, if you're going to do that, okay, do more than your crap lip service. Because it's apparent Wyatt wants it out there of what the truth of Sunday was.
Yes, as he should. Now, it's interesting, though. I'm just trying to figure it out. In long term, I don't know generally if he's even injured right now, if they just want some sort of look at Tevin Jenkins. That's a real problem that I can't trust their injury reports. I can't trust what they're telling us.
Well, and I'll tell you right now, what it makes me feel like is there's just no chance at Wyatt's back next year. And that's,
I think that was what I said yesterday that got you pissed off.
Like, well,
if you're going to treat him this way already, you're already setting it up and you're setting the table up to say, because you don't give a 3-year extension and a bunch of money to a guy that you're already rotating Tevin Jenkins in and out for.
And also, why the hell would he want to be here? Like, Wyatt's one of the three or four guys after the deadline that said, I want to be here. And listen, I'm not going to knock Myles for it. We had our do-si-do back in the offseason. Your best player literally at one point said he didn't want to be here anymore. And you have kowtowed and you have bowed down to the great Myles Garrett, as you should. I want to make that clear, as you should. And then a guy who after the trade deadline said, no, I'm happy I'm here. I want to be here. I want to be in Cleveland the rest of my career. And then you treat him like some special teams scrub, like a nudnik. And like, again, to me, that's where honesty does matter. Like, where Wyatt has to come out and say, yeah, it's performance related, I guess. That guy has to say that? You don't have the balls to say it? Oh, well, we keep that in house. No, you're covering your ass and you're being fake. That's all that is. Mm-hmm. I understand there are times to keep things in house and times when not to. I understand it. I'm always going to be on the wrong side of this because I always want transparency because I think the people that pay hundreds upon thousands of dollars to go see this team deserve it. But when we get into deserved things, I know the NFL stands for not for long. But Wyatt Teller deserves better than this. From a scrub-ass offensive line coach, and by the way, he might be the one guy who could be here next year off the five guys that are playing right now.
Yeah, I mean, no complaints from me.
Why am I just continuing to get more pissed the more we talk about it?
It's the Tomlin carryover is what it is. you get your riled up and then it just kind of, that's like the runway to get going. I don't know. This is where I was yesterday. I've calmed down since then. I thought yesterday I had a lot of anger towards it, but it's not really even from like a protecting Wyatt Teller side of it. I think yours is like protecting Wyatt and like all that he's earned and everything. I get tired of the idea that the Browns continuously just, they think we're idiots. They think we're just going to believe everything that they put out there. I mean, this goes to, I could tell you 25 different examples of what we've seen over the previous couple years where they'll tell you this is how it is. And because enough players are they too scared to speak out? I don't know what it is.
No, I mean, they've made sure to eradicate any of the leaks, to run guys out who they felt they couldn't trust with a message.
I mean, talk to some of the beat reporters. Like, they'll tell you they've never had as much limited access as what they have right now around this Browns team. And yep. Like, it's such a focal point of forming relationships with these players, like understanding how to get some of the best information, and a lot of that has just been stripped away, and now we're at the spot where a player can tell you in the post game that it was for, again, as dumb as it is, for performance issues, and then the response after that was by Stefanski multiple times and by the team, no, he's injured, and on top of that, he's not even going to play next week. Okay, it's not what the player told us after the game.
Yeah, it's just I can understand you want to keep the message in house. I can understand the different ways they're trying to do stuff, but at some point it's disrespectful to Wyatt. It's disrespectful. Again, every time from now on,
but the other part of that though is
real quick.
Go ahead.
Every time you hear that organization from now say things like "we want to do right by the player," think back to Wyatt Teller and how they're treating him right now.
So why are they doing this to Wyatt? Is something we also have to be asking in this equation as well. Why, if you're really trying to win and you're trying to put your best players out there and you're trying to give Shador the best chance to succeed, why would you take one of your best linemen off of the field and the guy that graded the best in that game yesterday on Sunday? Why would you do that?
I've honestly thought about this for 48 hours, but certainly the last 24 hours more focused, and I can't come up with a point that I watch Wyatt. I look what they're doing. He does not look like a problem. I cannot say that for half of the offensive line. He does not look like a problem. Does he not shine Kevin's shoes? Because no, Kevin does not like personalities. Kevin does not like anybody that might be a threat to Kevin just going into a room and scheming crap up.
Did they take the idea of it's a fact-finding mission just a little bit too far, maybe? Is that the idea? Like, they really are in this spot where they're just trying to figure out if Tevin Jenkins can be cheaper than Wyatt Teller, so they're going to give him the opportunities? Is that like the big play here? Because you can do this stuff with offensive linemen and people aren't going to cause a stink the same way you can do it. You can't do this with other positions where you just take the best players off the field. If Myles Garrett was just subbed and rotated out for the remainder of the game, we would know that, we would identify that, we would talk about that. They do this stuff with these type of players, and I just don't know that they care about winning at this point. I really don't.
They've done it with the left tackle spot earlier this year.
It's a 10-8 game at the half, and you're subbing out Wyatt Teller. I don't think they're really trying to win.
Well, but remember, KT Leviston and Cam Robinson splitting the left tackle spot, KT Leviston and some other Jamoke before Cam Robinson got here. I don't know what Mike Bloomgren... Listen, I think Mike Bloomgren's got a great NFL pedigree. I do. You know, if Bill Callahan says you're a good coach, I'll try and believe you as best as I can until I see some evidence that makes me believe. But this rotating tackle crap is college stuff. You don't rotate offensive linemen. Continuity is the most important thing to offensive linemen. And we're not in... And certainly in a game where you were in it, We're not to the evaluation standpoint. If we were, Ethan Posick, who, by the way, has played pretty decently recently, would be on the bench because you got to see a really extended look from Luke Whipler as well.
I don't get it. It's a 10-8 game. I don't understand. What else anybody could tell me when you take one of your best linemen off the field? And by the way, while your offensive line is crashing out all around you as is, it just doesn't make any sense, Nick. It doesn't.
216-474-0092. Does the Wyatt Teller situation make any damn sense to you? We'll talk with John Fanta about Shador's runway in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I think I got some stuff with the Wyatt stuff out of my system. I continue to get progressively angrier about it.
Yeah.
I do think the Tomlin thing was the right fight to have before we had that conversation.
It definitely got you riled up.
Because it allowed me to just process that anger. And then, so we're feeling better now.
Good. Okay, good.
Because now I cannot be angry.
I'm probably not going to shut up about it ever, though. I mean, if we're being honest about it.
We kind of have to have like a once-a-day check-in.
It's the type of thing that I have a real problem with the Browns thinking they can do.
Did the Browns just not want the Tellers to send out their yearly Christmas card?
Oh, did I tell you? I didn't tell you who asked me for my address over the weekend, over the holiday weekend.
Who's that?
One Kenneth Carman.
Oh, I got that too.
So we made the Christmas card list. I'd always wondered. I was like, I've never made the list. I've been working with them for almost 10 years. I'd never made the list. I wanted to be. Who doesn't like a Christmas card?
I love getting Christmas cards. I'm just really bad at sending them out. Like, I know we ordered them, and then they might sit on my desk for a while, and they might get sent out. They also might not get sent out.
Elise is playing Christmas card roulette. She only ordered, like, six of them and is sending them to, like the immediate family. You know what I mean? Like, my sister, my mom, and all these people. The problem is that if, like, my aunt goes to my sister's house and then sees the card and it's got all of us on there, she's going to be like, where's my Christmas card? But then I can't just send it to the aunt to satisfy that, because then if one of the cousins go over to her house, see how this works?
Gateway card.
And I don't want to send out 100 cards this year. I just don't.
I think what you got to do is you got to fire back. You're premature, just fired out there being like, ain't getting bleep.
I didn't know. You guys only wanted to order six.
Ultimate trump card. You just had a baby.
I don't use it enough.
Yeah, you should.
I don't use it ever. I need to get better at that.
Like, I almost want to start inviting you to things that I know you don't want to come to, so you can use.
That's nice of you, yes.
You can use it like, we have a baby. And they'll be like, Jonathan, I hate to tell you, none of those 10 events I invited you to were actually real.
I just assume the world doesn't care. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to give me the old Peterlin pass on that
I think the people that do care.
The Peterlin pass.
Care. Like, our friend Steph and Mike just had their baby girl, their second kiddo, earlier November. And
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I texted them and I was like, listen, we would love to see you. Also understand if you don't want to come to Friendsgiving this year, even though you're 5 minutes down the road because you just had a kid. So you were probably exhausted and overwhelmed. So if you don't want to come, we want to see you badly. It's been a while since we've seen you. But if you don't, please know we love you and it's okay.
I'm just going to start using it now. Like, hey, that Tomlin fight, didn't get much sleep last night.
That's true.
Didn't get much sleep. That's where that came from.
216-474-0092.
Now Keith's going to be like, he's going to be waking me up in the middle of the night to make sure we start fights. Like just texting, calling.
How long do you get to use the new baby excuse? I say a full year. It's hard being a parent.
Full year.
It's hard being parents of newborns.
I don't think I've used it once.
We need to give, not new parents, but parents who've just had a baby, we need to give them full runway. It's hard. I'm an easy street. I get a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old. If they start screaming, I just walk out of the room and say, figure it out. Right?
You just turn like you're like Abe Simpson. And yeah. Just walk in, walk out.
I grab an alcoholic grand beverage, opening, walk out of the garage and say, deuces. You guys, let me know when you figure it out. All right, we made him wait forever here. John Fanta joins us, NBC Sports Cleveland's own in the Fan Hotline. Sorry about that, John.
Sorry, John.
That's okay, guys. I've got a seven-month-old. I believe in the year-long policy, and had the Browns won on Sunday, you both would have been added to my family Christmas card list.
Oh, wait, so
wait,
we're not...
They
wait,
lost,
wait,
we're not...
How do I get punished because Kevin Stefanski can't coach his way out of a paper bag?
Really taking three-win Wilson to heart here, aren't you, John?
Yes, I am. I am. You're still... Yep, you're set up nicely. That was just a beautiful disaster on Sunday afternoon. That was for me. That I was thinking about this before hopping on with you guys. Do you guys remember when the Browns hosted the Rams on Sunday Night Football in the Freddie Kitchens season? You remember that game?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a fourth down. I want to say like fourth and nine maybe. And they decided to run a draw play, and I genuinely
yes.
believe it was because they didn't know what, like, I do believe there was a faction there of they didn't know what down it was because the play made no sense.
Mm-hmm.
That for me was Sunday's fan in play. Like that, if I point back to a play with a coaching tenure ending, that will be the play that I look at, because when the graphic on screen is showing two on the play clock, I'm sitting there saying, yep, delay of game. And then the snap still occurs. It was at that point that I said, that is an indefensible, undisputable mistake upon mass proportion that nobody could ever justify under any circumstances.
Obviously, John, we're still digging through the rubble of the 49ers loss. I put it on Kevin. I did put it on Bubba. I put it on special teams. Where is it all on Kevin for you, though?
Yeah, it is, because Bubba works for him. Bubba shouldn't be coaching this week. If we're just being real, like these are things that are happening way, way too often for a professional football team to be doing these things within the course of a game. I mean, if you take away the 66-yard return – and you take away, here's the thing. You know how we're breaking down games every week, and we say, well, if you take that play away, it probably goes differently. The problem with the Browns is you have to take away like six or seven or eight plays, and 90% of them are on the coaches. This is a young football team. They're very inexperienced. They need training wheels at times. That's okay. They're not the first football team that's ever needed that. They're very young. The coaching is not helping the players. That's a huge red flag. And it just continues to be with this team. They did unimaginable things on Sunday afternoon, guys. And it does fall on Kevin, because you know your team is in a 2-point game, and you know your team is not loaded up with talent. I mean, on the defensive side they are, but loaded up with talent on offense to be able to function properly all the time, or to just get the benefit of the doubt. Twice on fourth and one. Twice. You knew when they put an offensive lineman in at fullback on the fourth and one in Niners territory what they were going to do. The Niners knew what they were going to do. Was there anybody blocking on the interior there? No. And then you couldn't make it on fourth and one there. What made you think you were going to make it on fourth and one in your own territory? That ended the game. The moment that happened, you sat back and you said, it's just not going to happen, because the coaches cost them that game Sunday. And they've cost them a number of times this season. And as a result, changes are a must. There's just no denying it. I do blame Kevin, because Bubba is his special teams guy. And the special teams errors week in and week out, dropping punts. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, and I feel bad for the players. I do. I feel bad for some of the players on this team that work their tails off for a game every single week, and I feel bad for Jim Schwartz, guys. I really do. I feel bad for Jim Schwartz. Did you see Schwartz and Shanahan chopping it up at the end of Sunday's game, sort of laughing, and Schwartz put his hand over his mouth? Oh, to be a fly on the wall to know what Schwartz sort of muttered to Shanahan, who knows of all people the dysfunction within the Browns.
All right, John, what'd you make of the sideline interaction between Jerry Jeudy and Shedeur Sanders?
Well, look, I documented on this show that Jeudy, to me, you know, he's not a long-term, you know, option for this football team, nor should he be. I think for me, like, I didn't I'm not going to explode off of it. Like, the interaction to me right now that sums up the dysfunction is the stuff that's happening on social media between people's girlfriends and, you know, it never ends with the Browns. But, like, I don't know, guys. I think that we could look into any sideline interaction and overreact or not react enough. That didn't really – it's not something that like, I have an overreaction to at all. But I just – like, Shedeur Sanders – to me, the biggest thing that the biggest problem that I have is you compound the bad coaching, okay, and that creates total dysfunction in your organization. Whether one social media video after a win says it or not, the Browns are dysfunctional. So these types of interactions on the sidelines, they're gonna happen. They're gonna continue to happen. I think the hardest part is, how do you properly evaluate, how do you properly say where Sanders is at when all this other, you know what, the word I can't use on your air, I mean, I could use it, but I don't know if I'd be allowed back on next Tuesday, all that other stuff.
I'd probably let you back on. I would.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Nick. I appreciate it. All that other stuff.
And Jonathan.
Is happening. So, to me, Judy, I'm over everything with him. You know, the mistake in Vegas, it did it for me. But like, it just, that didn't bother, that doesn't like get me thinking one way or the other. I want to see more of Shedeur. I want to see him finish out this season. And I just think that the hardest part about this is that we very well could walk out of this season being like, well, we think there's something there, and we think that maybe there's some potential, but how do you properly evaluate it when your coaching and your system is so broken and disjointed?
All right, what are the next five games about for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, to find out if they could go into next year with Shedeur Sanders as an option at quarterback, as a starting quarterback. That's what the next five games are about. And they're about Myles Garrett making history. You know, let's appreciate that. And they're about continuing to watch these rookies grow. I mean, if there's one thing about this season that I'm enjoying, I think you both would agree, it's we get to watch Quinshon Judkins and Dylan Sampson get better and better every single week, and Harold Fannin making plays left and right that make you say, all right, there's something cooking here. You know, like, I've enjoyed that, and I've enjoyed watching Carson Schlesinger play football every week. You know, the Browns have a coaching staff that, you know, I fully believe is on their way out, but the players, you know, I enjoy watching some of these young pieces be dynamic and get better. You know, I would just say, like, I'm knocking on wood as I say this, knowing some of these rookies who can be back for their second year, I just want them to stay healthy. I don't want anything to happen to them.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Into year two, for those different rookies and different standouts, I want to see Myles Garrett, you know, get this record, smash it, and make some history. I want to, but more than anything, I want to know. And here's the thing, guys. I don't know if we'll know the answer, but I would love to get some semblance of an answer of, all right, can we go into training camp, and is Shedeur Sanders a real option for the Cleveland Browns in their quarterback competition? Is that a real thing? That's what I want to know the answer to. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's got to be it. And really, it's not even like the highest bar to have to clear, John. It's like, can you be better than whatever you think you could potentially draft, not even as the first or second quarterback off the board, probably the third quarterback off the board, or then on the other side of it, like Mac Jones?
Yeah, exactly. That's what you want to know here is, and look, this quarterback class, which remembers, you know, pre-draft this past year, what people were talking about this upcoming year's quarterback class to be, let's be honest, it's withered. You know, it really has in terms of hype at the top of the board at this point. Now, we know because of the priority of the quarterback position that the hype's only going to continue to rise because that draws interest and audience, and quarterback is the most valuable position on the field. But I think that you're exactly right. Like, are the Browns – I think they'll have a new regime. Is that new regime, like, what is going to be their route, and how is that determined financially? How is that determined? Do you get a season vet in the room, or do you go and draft again? Those are the biggest questions for this team. And Lord, I mean, I know that this gets tossed around from time to time, but I think the other thing that we want to find out over the course of the next weeks and months is like, what is ultimately going to be like the final type of conclusion with Deshaun Watson, because it's still very much like a thing that he's around and he's been coaching up Sanders and stuff. And I think if you asked him, he'd probably say that he wants to come back and play. I mean, if you ask me, I think he's done being a starter in the National Football League, but that quarterback room, but the biggest thing you got to solve is Sanders feasible? And if he is, then maybe you do, you know, go the route of getting that established veteran to compete with him and be that type of presence. We're going to find out.
John, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
I want to know. Here's the thing, guys. I don't know if we'll know the answer, but I would love to get some semblance of an answer of, all right, can we go into training camp? And is Shedeur Sanders a real option for the Cleveland Browns in their quarterback competition? Is that a real thing? That's what I want to know the answer to. Wouldn't you agree?
Cleveland's own John Fanta, NBC Sports in the previous segment, making his weekly hit with us. We do have Albert Breer coming up in just about 15 minutes here. We'll talk with him about, the state of the Browns, the state of Stefanski, and so much more. But I do think when John was kind of asked the question there, what are the next five games about? I think it's really, really rare that you would get this deep into the season and you look at it and go, well, they're 3-9, playoffs are off the table, what else you got? And like, I think Shador's the obvious answer, but I think John called out a lot of stuff that make this final five games incredibly watchable if you're a Browns fan.
Yeah, I mean, and it's obviously the story all season long has been what the rookies can do. So it's one big, we just kind of lump them all into it. But even outside of that, yeah, the Myles Garrett sack record alone should be enough for people to pay attention the rest of the season.
And here's the other thing. I know Tom Withers said today when filling in on Baskin and Phelps, he said, well, the players are still playing for Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough for me to believe that after the kind of errors that were happening on Sunday, but the next five games will tell us that. You know, that the next five games really are a great opportunity for Kevin to keep this thing on the tracks. I don't think he can do it, and I think he's cooked, but that's certainly...
That's be right honest there. About your confidence level with this now.
Well, no, I mean, I think it is something to watch for, no?
I mean, it definitely is something to watch for. If we start from the idea that he's cooked and he's basically just playing out the string, it doesn't exude the most confidence in the world that he's going to be able to rebound from this. Like the dead cat bounce back from this is going to have to be him doing something with Shador that at least he didn't do in the 49ers game and that we hadn't really seen him do.
Yeah, I mean, if you go 3-2 in the final five games and I see Shador progress from where he is now by the end of the season, where I see another 25% of growth, 35-40% of growth, that is, again, that's proof.
Can I give you a moment of honesty here?
Yes.
The very first play that Shador had, the very first drive on Sunday's game, when Shador went deep to Jerry Jeudy, he missed him, obviously. We all know that play, right? When he made that throw, I thought to myself, Stefanski's treating him a little bit different. We got a carryover from the Raiders game. He's learning. He's figuring things out. Now all of a sudden, he's gonna understand what to do with this Lamborghini of a quarterback that he's got, right? Like he's gonna be able to figure this out. And in my mind, I was erasing the previous year and a half of just being angry at Stefanski. And I was erasing the year and a half of just thinking that basically he didn't know what he was doing at this point. His brain was fried and he didn't know how to coach these guys. He was starting to slowly but surely get me to twist on that. And then the rest of the game happened. And so obviously that thought didn't permeate with me.
Yeah, I mean, I think,
for that brief moment, it did. Like, he's got a chance. And that's what we're saying. Like, in the final five games, if you do something different with Shador, if you do something different with this team, there still is enough time to have people thinking, you know, you have a clue at least.
And I think one of the great hopes of having a young team is that you can put together a good December, right? When you've played young guys, this is what pissed me off so much about the special teams issues this last weekend. It's like you're playing predominantly young guys there. Those guys should be getting better. We shouldn't.
I know, but the other thought on that too, though, is always that they've never played this many games in their life, and so it becomes harder for some of these rookies to actually go out there and do that.
I don't ever buy that excuse. It's the NFL. I mean, the damn college football season for some guys is 15 games now. You know what I mean? Like, and granted, they break it up because you have the break in between conference championships and the playoffs. But I don't know. To me, the best coach teams that have young players play their best football in December. And so, like, and by the way, you can do this and you can still lose games. But like, Mike Hall Jr. is year three. All right, Mike, look what you got going.
Mm-hmm.
With Malik Collins out, and that is a killer of an injury.
Yeah.
And by the way, we haven't talked a lot about it because, hey, Malik Collins' injury. Yeah, it's bad. Yeah, he's one of their best free agent signings under the Barry regime. He's an incredible football player. He complimented Mason Graham perfectly. But there's now an opportunity for Mike Hall Jr. and Aiden Huntington. Certainly. I mean, guys beyond... Devin Bush, Schlesinger, and Jerome Baker. Diabate's another guy that continues to come along. Mascarenhas Arnold. There's a couple young guys in the secondary. Like, there's even at the center position, if they go to Whipler at any point, like, there are young guys here. Isaiah Bond, who actually has looked functional the last 2 weeks. Like,
well, I mean,
there
you had 12 or 13 rookies on the team. It's not like, I mean, we have a lot of young guys, well, but beyond just the rookies, obviously.
But I think, like, I think the idea that we can see, like, some tangible growth in those guys. We've had years where we've had plenty of young guys, and we've gone out and watched them in December and thought, these guys aren't getting any damn better.
Yeah, that's what's so encouraging about...
I can't say that yet about this team.
That's what's so encouraging about the yards after catch king, Harold Fannin, right now. He seems to get better every week.
Can we just call him the Yak King?
And I wanted to spell it out for people. Also, in my mind, I was debating whether or not Fanta...
Better?
I wanted to debate whether or not Fanta is rewriting history as we're speaking here. He goes, if we go 3-2, you owe me and JP a burger. First off, that's not the... I don't have a burger bet, but I appreciate you lumping me in with the burger bet with Nick. But, like... He made a quick comment to it last week while you were out as well. 6 wins is all he needed. I thought the burger bet with Fanta was 8 wins.
I honestly don't know anymore.
I think he might be trying to... Is he... Is he rewriting this?
3 burger bets. I can't keep them straight. By the way, a 4th burger bet with you, all I know is I'm winning every single one of them.
Well, no, you're not. The Ravens are technically the leaders in the AFC North right now.
Technically. Right now.
Okay.
Albert Breer coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental, the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.